This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at rainmakerplatform.com. Hi, and welcome to PR is Dead. I'm your host, Doyle Albee. Thanks for listening. I got an email recently asking me about native advertising, so I thought I'd lay out the differences between native advertising and public relations, or earned media as we like to call it, in this week's edition of the podcast. I realize the term native advertising is one that might be new to many of you, so here's one of the best definitions I've found, and I'd like to thank the folks at ShareThrough for this, and I'll even leave a link in the program notes so you can see what they do and what their page is all about. Here's their definition. Native advertising is a form of paid media where the ad experience follows the natural form and function of the user experience in which it is placed. Okay, now, good definition, but in English, what does that mean? And it was a great definition, by the way, but there's lots of different variations, but basically, paid advertising is an article or sometimes a series of articles that look like they're part of the media outlet you're consuming, a blog, a newspaper, a magazine. So the ad might look like a magazine article or a newspaper article if it's placed in a newspaper or magazine. And done well, this can be very effective. In fact, copybloggers Demian Farnsworth has a great article on Copyblogger called 12 Examples of Native Ads and Why They Work, and I'll include a link to that in the show notes as well. I think it's a great article. But let me stress what I said above. Done well, these can be very effective. And think about it. And why is that? How often do you really stop and read a traditional ad, especially if you're not looking for whatever's being advertised? You know what I'm talking about. There's nothing interesting really about a big product placement and a big price if you're not interested in that product. If you want a great deal on a men's shirt or women's shoes or a new car, and that's what the ad happens to be about, it'll probably catch your eye. But otherwise, you'll probably blast right past, and the money paid for that ad is lost on you and anyone like you that happens to be consuming that piece of media. On the other side of the coin, you've got native advertising. It's a cool bit of information typically brought to you by someone who wants to get in front of you and introduce their company or product to you. I like Demian's examples of the Oyster Guide by Guinness, the beer, and that happened to be, it's an older ad, it was penned by a legendary ad guy, David Ogilvy, and if you don't know about him, I put a couple links in the show notes because you really should. He's an inspiring character if you'd like to be in content marketing. And I also really like the Onion's always spot on headline about how a woman was taking a break from doing her taxes after filling out her name and address, and that was brought to you by H&R Block. And I thought that was a great mix of humor, especially in a topic that often just isn't all that funny. Nobody likes the taxes, really. I'm going to give another example here that Demian didn't use, and I'm going to date myself a little, but I think one of the great pieces of content advertising of all time was the Coca-Cola commercial from the 1970s that featured Mean Joe Green. I'll put a link to the show notes to YouTube if you haven't seen it, or if you haven't seen it in a while. It's just it's a wonderful 60-second spot where, Mean Joe Green, this huge, imposing professional football player is limping off the field, and this kid somehow gets in the tunnel and is, "Mr. Green, you okay?" Finally says, "You want a drink of my Coke?" And Mean Joe downs the entire Coke and then tosses its jersey back to the kid. It's just this great, heartwarming 60-second story that made people stop and watch. And I even remember watching a football game in a bar. And to be clear, I was there with my father when I was in junior high or high school. I can't remember which, so I'm not that old. But I remember the place actually getting quiet when that commercial came on, and the entire place stopped and watched in the middle of a football game to see what was going to happen in that ad. And they'd probably all seen it half a dozen times anyway, but you could see people nudging each other and saying, "Watch this, watch this." Now that is compelling content, and that's what we want to try to do in native advertising. But the main point I want to make about native advertising differing from public relations is simply this. Almost without exception, you have to buy the space that native advertising sits in. It's an ad. If you want a full page ad, you have to pay for a full page ad, and then you can insert the content and copy that you want. Native advertising is just the idea of writing content that people want to see versus a traditional ad or a commercial, which might just list your specials or announce a sale or do something very, very straightforward. And even if you're quoted well in some articles, and I've seen some native ads that are actually a full page in newspapers that are a series of articles. So they look very much like a page of the newspaper with just a very small note that this is an advertisement at the top. Or even if you pen an entire article that runs in a publication in this way, you're probably not going to catch the eye of the editorial department. And that's really what we've been talking about in this podcast, is that you want to do that. You want to be able to catch the eye of the editorial department, and chances are native advertising is not going to get that done for you. That said, I want to be very, very clear. I'm not here to tell you that public relations, earned media, PR, whatever we want to call it, is better than native advertising, nor am I going to tell you that native advertising is better than public relations. I just want to take a moment and explain the difference and let you know there are options to getting strong content featuring you or your organization or your company in the media, even when your budget doesn't allow you to buy advertising space. And if it does, mixing the two together can be a really great option. Now, one thing about native advertising is when you do run an ad with a media outlet, you develop the content and the creative and you have literally 100% control over it. We won't get into the details of from time to time magazines or particular outlets don't accept certain kinds of content. You may have for example, here in Colorado, you may want to advertise a cannabis company, and some publications still don't accept advertising along those lines. We're not talking about that. For the most part, it's your space, it's your ad, and you get to say what you want. So you've got lots of control. You can approve the copy in advance. You can make sure it's just the way you want it to be. And there shouldn't be any surprises. You can also really have a great deal of influence on where it appears. You can buy certain sections of publications. You can buy certain pages and page views online. So you've got a great deal of control. And what we've been talking about to contrast that on this podcast is what I'll call earned media, because you don't pay for the placement. You earn it by giving information. So it's earned media. You give a quote, you give an article, you give your expertise in some way. You get quoted in a news story by a reporter. And remember, I'll recap this. A reporter is a blogger, a newspaper reporter, an assignment editor, a magazine writer, a freelance writer, whatever it is. For our purposes here, we just don't list those all out. You don't get any real editorial control to speak of. You certainly don't want to ask, as we've talked about, the reporter to see the article so you can approve it before it goes in. But by working this way, you're building credibility, you're being quoted, you might get called back, and that's the goal, obviously, is to be called back by this reporter or his or her colleagues. And you're building that relationship so you can be a regularly featured expert in a perfect world. But really, the key difference is that even though you don't get paid for your contributions, you don't have to pay for them. So when we spoke to Lisa Rickman from Colorado Biz a few episodes ago, and I'll put some links to the show notes there if you'd like to listen to that episode, she talked about people that wrote for her once or twice each month, some people even write weekly, and how she really appreciates that, and she gives special placement to those folks who come in again and again with great content. And they're not paying for that space, nor are they being compensated for it. They're earning that media. They're trading their expertise and their ability to put good pieces together for Lisa in exchange for some exposure in her publication. And, you know, to be clear, Colorado Biz would be more than happy to sell you or anyone else online or print ads as often as you'd like to buy them. But you pay for those placements. That's the difference. And not every business, especially small organizations, have the budget to have a regular advertising campaign in one or more media outlets. And I'm sure many of you are perhaps thinking, if I get more control with native advertising, why wouldn't I just want to do that? And that's certainly a consideration that should go into your planning. However, as I said, many small businesses, small organizations, sole proprietorships just don't have an advertising budget that will allow regular placement. I mean, remember up above when we talked about some of the great content advertising pieces, they were from Coke, they were from Guinness, they were from H&R Block. Those are not exactly small companies, and they've got a budget. And so in their case, content advertising is just a more effective ad or can be a more effective ad than a simple, you know, it's almost tax day, get 10% off. But if you need to get some exposure and have little or no advertising budget, the public relations activities we've been discussing might be better for your organization. Let me also stress this. I don't believe that native advertising and public relations should necessarily be an either-or decision. Many companies are successful using a combination of native advertising and earned media, but again, that requires a budget and it also requires your time. So, a consideration. I'll throw in one additional thought here as we begin to wrap things up. Part of the reason native advertising, well done, is successful is that it's providing informative or entertaining content. Now, a news release, and I know many of you that have perhaps listened to this podcast say, wow, he's going to recommend a news release. And yes, I am. I think they've got a place, as we've talked about, just not too big of a place, and they can't be your only tool. When you've got something with your organization that you think has got some newsworthy effects to it, there is something to be said for developing a news release and paying a company like Business Wire, PR Newswire, MarketWire. I'll leave links to these companies and all in the show notes so you can take a look at them. They're going to show up online. They're going to go into Google News. They're going to go into Yahoo Finance for the most part. There's a lot of different places, depending on how much distribution you want to pay for, where your news release will end up. And there's a chance that the media will see it and take, might even call you on it. They might pick up the story, et cetera. Now, to be really clear, and we don't want to take this episode completely off the rails, this is not a place to send out your daily lunch specials. But if you are going to do, for example, if you the same restaurant during the holidays might be donating one meal for every five purchased to a local homeless shelter, that could be worthy of a news release. So if you've got a story like that that is got an entertaining element to it or got an informative element, something that's different, something that people might want to take advantage of, it might be a really good idea to look into paying a few hundred dollars to a Business Wire, PR Newswire, Market Wire, etc., to see if it makes sense for you to put your news release out there. And you will get some online searchability for it. There's some advantages there. And when people look for your business, there's a chance that your release or releases will come up and be found in a Google search, again, telling you good news. So let's sum up kind of the three main areas we've talked about today. So we talked about native advertising, and that is where you buy advertising space, but you make that space look like the content of the publication or the media outlet that's surrounding that content. There's earned media. That's what we talked about with Lisa Rickman. That's where we spent the bulk of the time in our podcast, where you're quoted within an article. You don't pay for it. You don't have editorial control over it, but you can begin to establish yourself as an expert or a spokesperson. It's also when you develop 800 words of contributed content and you give it to them. And again, this can't be 800 words about the glory of your restaurant or your dry cleaners or your daycare center, but it can be 800 words about caring for kids. And as we've talked about, three great ideas to do on snowy days, things like that. And then finally, you might want to consider developing a news release and paying to put it on a wire service. That can kind of straddle both of these worlds and get you some great exposure as well. And again, each tactic can be successful on its own. They can be done in a group. But these are the differences that I wanted to talk about so you can understand and make those decisions as you think about your communications practice and your communications goals for your organization moving forward. Now, as you might know, I usually end every episode with a quote about the media, but I'd like to vary that a little bit for this episode. This podcast is coming to you from Boulder, Colorado, where I make my home. And unfortunately, in my home state, we experienced another mass shooting over the recent holiday weekend, which will just be a few days past when you listen to this podcast. My state has endured Columbine. My state has endured the Aurora Theater shootings. Now we have the assault, what appears to be an assault on a Planned Parenthood facility in Colorado Springs. Let me be clear, this is not the right forum, nor am I trying to make any sort of political statement or even discuss what we should or shouldn't do as a society for these incidents, but I just feel the proximity of the time when I'm recording this and the closeness to my home, I would be remiss not to express my deepest condolences for those affected just a few miles from my home in a wonderful community where I visited many times and have many friends. My thoughts are with the families and friends of the victims, as well as the community of Colorado Springs. So as always, thanks for listening. If you have questions, please drop me a line at doyle.albee@gmail.com. I'm at Doyle Albee on Twitter. You can reach out on LinkedIn. I would love to be your friend and your colleague there. And if you're so inclined, please drop a review on iTunes. That's always welcome, and we'd love to hear from you. So until next time, I hope you get some good news. Thanks for listening.